You are back with the conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. It was a victory for those who died waiting for a piece of Hawaiian homelands. The Hawaii Supreme Court handed down a decision that went against the state of Hawaii for its handling of the program aimed at putting Native Hawaiians on homestead property across the state. HBR's Ku'uwe Hiraishi joins us this morning to talk about that. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. Yes, the class action lawsuit, Kalima versus the state of Hawaii, the final decision for damages or compensation and how to figure that out, that ruling came down last week from the Hawaii Supreme Court. But this issue of damages, it's really interesting. So the issue of damages was the subject of court proceedings for the last 11 years. The trial itself to figure out whether or not the state was liable for breaches of trust in not getting Hawaiians on that land in a timely manner, that took 6 months. But the actual damages and trying to come, I guess, reach common ground on what would be fair and how would we accurately come up with that number, that's been talked about for the last more than a decade. So the lawsuit, just some background on the lawsuit, it was filed back in 99 on behalf of more than 2,700 beneficiaries of the Hawaiian Homelands Trust, and they claim the state breached its trust obligations by not awarding them a homestead lot over that time, or at least in a timely manner. Now, the trial itself is wrapping up, but the next step is to figure that number out, that compensation. Carl Verity, co-lead counsel for the plaintiffs, says that it was already a hard time to figure out what it was going to be. But now moving forward, the process might get a little bit more sticky. Here's Verity.
Our main objective in all of this litigation over these 20 years is to try to get these kupuna compensated for the breaches of trust that they've endured over these decades. Finding middle ground for presenting our damages claims is one way of trying to get the canoe to the shoreline of compensation a little bit faster.
I like that phrase.
I didn't get to put it in my story, so I wanted to use it there. It illustrates what's really going on. So this is a very complicated case. You've got thousands of claimants, all with varying circumstances. So some have applied for Hawaiian homes, but their application got lost. And then they went back onto the wait list, but they're getting claims for the initial application. There are folks who have been on the wait list for a while, but eventually did get a homestead, and they are also part of this case. So figuring out accurately and fairly compensating these folks has been a hard thing to figure out. The court could have asked each claimant to add up the amount of rent that they would have paid for the time that they were on that wait list, but figuring out how to document that and whether or not they could, for example, you have folks who live with their family and aren't paying rent. Folks may have become homeless because of not being able to get that benefit of a homestead. So for these, because of these circumstances, the high court had said, you know, let's not eliminate that possibility and let's put that documentation aside. We're going to come up with our own formula. And so what the court ended up doing was creating a formula based on the fair market rental value for this 5,000 square foot residential lot in Ma'ili on Oahu. And this is actually going to be the formula that's used for all claimants across the islands. It was really interesting. According to Verity, it was a conservative, Ma'ili land values versus Kahala or Manoa, right? They wanted to put something on the table that the state and the court would say was reasonable because you are going to be paying eventually 2,700,000 claims for that. We've got folks that have been on the wait list for decades. You can't even imagine what that number looks like. Verity has said that it's hard to give a ballpark figure, but he does believe that folks who have applied later or more recently will have higher awards because of the value of the land going up in general there. But seeing as this case was about a breach of trust over land, you'd think land would be on the table for compensation. But Verity says that kind of relief isn't provided in this ruling.
The statute only provides for monetary relief. Gotcha. The legislature, and the department at any time could have proposed some kind of in-kind resolution. Neither of them have done that. So we're left with the only method for justice and fairness that we have, and that's monetary compensation, which we hope to obtain for as many of the claimants as possible.
So the department he was talking about, in their Department of Hawaiian Homelands, they are entrusted with carrying out the Hawaiian Homelands Trust, which was established by Congress back in 1921, like you said, to return Native Hawaiians to the land. 50 or more percent Native Hawaiian blood is required for beneficiaries, and they get a lease to a plot of land for $1 a year. So that's sort of the benefit, which can really help in circumstances of high price, you know, the high cost of living, but also just high rent everywhere across the state. Verity says more than 400 of the 2,700 plaintiffs have actually passed away since the lawsuit began. That's a lot. And he says that their claims are still valid and can be claimed by their descendants. So Renette Achong, a daughter of the deceased plaintiff Joseph Ching, is part of the lawsuit now. Joseph Ching, her father, had passed away back in 2001, and he had applied for homestead in the early 60s, but by the time he had passed away, did not end up on a homestead lot. And so Achong is trying to figure out a way to make sure her kids and the next generation get involved in the case, you know, if the possibility comes across that she may not be here to receive that compensation moving forward.
You keep fighting till you can't fight. You groom your family to sit there for you, because I've been grooming my daughter and my sons to stand here for me when I'm no longer there. When I came into this, I didn't know what my dad was doing. I read his thousands and thousands of pages of his testimony, of his case, and everything. It made my head spin. But they're young enough to learn. If they're brilliant enough, they can do this for their family. Because right now, I don't know where it stands. I may be dead, and my daughter got to stand there for me, or my son got to stand there for me.
So she is expecting a compensation to take a while before she receives it. But the next step is for a special master that has been appointed by the court to oversee this claims process. And they're going to go through every single individual claim, make sure the Native Hawaiian qualification is in place, that they meet the blood quantum, make sure that their application dates are accurate, because they're getting a certain amount of money per year of being on that wait list. Those details will all be hashed out by the special master, and then a recommendation will be made to the courts, who will then decide the final amount.
And so as you were talking then to the attorneys, close to 3,000 people, that's a lot of folks on that list.
That is, well, that's just the class action lawsuit. So the waiting list, which I have not talked about yet, we've got about 10,000 beneficiaries of Hawaiian homesteads actually on the land right now, and another more than 27,000 on the wait list. So they are all waiting for, like these 2,700 plaintiffs, for a plot of land from the trust.
Okay, and then I know, full disclosure, I know you at one time worked for Department of Hawaiian Homelands.
Yes,
and so
I did.
You have also a different viewpoint.
A working understanding of, yeah, I think I do. The understanding of how the process works. And, you know, I'm also on the wait list. Parents are on the wait list. And my grandparents are actually on homestead. So this is an issue that really, you know, gets close to my heart. But it's something that's been going on for so long, this 20-year court proceeding, really, to figure this out. I can't imagine what's going to happen next on the actual front for the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, who may be seeing a bit more pressure now with the economic situation in Hawaii and the situation for Native Hawaiians, and figuring out how to expedite, perhaps, getting people on the land.
Yeah, and I have relatives that are on homestead land, and you know, it does vary, right, across the state where the neighborhoods are, you know, are located. And the big issue has been development of a lot of these DHLNs.
The cost of development is definitely a big factor, especially in areas where there is no running water or electricity, and trying to put in the infrastructure to get to the land and then awarding it out to see if anybody's actually going to go move there. That's another question. So there are a lot of hurdles for the department, but I think this Hawaii Supreme Court ruling really made it clear that, you know, these folks have definitely incurred some damages from not having that opportunity. And I think now the department will probably move forward and figure out how to make sure that that opportunity is given to the other 27,000 on the list.
Well, I guess what I worry about is, given these tough COVID financial times, is the state's ability to pay, because that was always an issue about funding the Department of Homeland's, you know, in sessions past. And now we've got this economic crisis, and now we have this significant ruling. And so how do we go forward, and where do we find the money to make it right?
I think that will definitely be an issue moving forward, because from one estimate I remember Verity had said in the past, I think it was to KHON, that the damages could be as much as $10 million.
Wow.
In total, which $10 million the state possibly does not have right now.
All right, okay. Thank you so much, Kuvehi.
Mahalo.
We have been talking with HPR's Kuvehi Hiraishi about the recent Hawaiian Homelands ruling by the Hawaii Supreme Court.